Wow, well, that looked incredibly uplifting, and I'm sure we knew what that song is, How Great Is Our God. Wouldn't you love to just be on that veranda in that moment? That would be awesome. Praise God. What a great witness. And I'm glad that you're also with us here tonight, City on a Hill, as we go a little bit deeper into God's Word. I got sent last week a really important letter. It really came through my Instagram feed. And let me read this really important letter to you. Hey, your IG is awesome. With a blue heart emoji. I work with a sunglass brand called, no product placement here. And we just launched a brand, won't say what, and we absolutely would love to collaborate with you and send your way some complimentary sunglasses on us. If you're interested, DM us and we will send you a link and we'll be more than happy to help. Rainbow, rainbow. I'm like, wow, that is so cool. I'm going to be an Instagram influencer to my 58 followers on Instagram. And so I started to think about planning the Instagram pose with their new product. And at that point, as I shared with the family, my kids are cringing, my wife is rolling her eyes, but I'm thinking, wow, man, I've made it. I'm seriously going to be an influencer, until the second letter came my way, which was really just a discount code on their product. And it went down like a lead balloon, really. And I suddenly realized that, well, those two letters, they're not going to make any difference in my life, and I don't want your product anyway. But tonight, we're also going to have two letters come our way that if we take these letters really seriously, you could become a great influencer for Jesus Christ. And that is greater influence than just what pops up on a screen that's here one moment and gone the next. We're going to have 2 and 3 John come your way. Two letters that if applied, you could become a great influencer for Jesus Christ. Let me remind you about John, who was a close follower of Jesus. John was there that day where Simon, who later got the name Peter, was fishing with his brother Andrew. And as they were fishing, they didn't catch anything that night. Well, James and John were there with their dad Zebedee. So there was 5 of them fishing. And in the morning, as they fished all night, they saw Jesus, who was teaching on the shore. They listened to Jesus, and Jesus instructed them, you know the story, to throw the nets on the other side of the boat. Simon Peter reluctantly threw out the nets, but then they caught such a large number of fish. Incredible, miraculous catch that Jesus used to teach them that they would actually be fishers of men and women. And so Jesus said, follow me. And Simon with Andrew and James and John, they followed Jesus, one of the earliest disciples. In fact, John never really abandoned Jesus either. At the cross, when Jesus was there, crucified, John was there. The only disciple that didn't abandon Jesus. He was there with the women. And in fact, he was one of the first disciples to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. John was a faithful, loyal follower of Jesus. And we're actually going to get 2 letters from John tonight, some of his last teaching that he had for us. After walking with Jesus, John, he had these 2 really important truths about Jesus, that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Allow me to go back to the Gospel of John right at the beginning. In John chapter 1, verse 14, this is what Jesus wrote. This is what John wrote. The Word, which is a Greek word for logos, the divine power that made everything, became flesh. In other words, Jesus became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory. We've seen the glory of God. That's the very presence of God, the holiness of God going public for everyone to see. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And this reality for John was woven all throughout his teaching in the Bible, that Jesus was full of grace and truth. It's important that we really understand that as we come to these two letters. I've got a little demonstration for us, so you're kind of going to have to follow with me. I'm going to get a glass here, and if I've gone out of screen, I'm sorry, but I'm back again. Here I am. And so John says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. So obviously this glass represents Jesus. He was full, so full. Full. I mean, really full. We're going super full here. John said he was full of grace and truth. I'm getting all the way so full. I'm not yet spilled, but he was so full. If you just jiggle Jesus, it just overflowed with grace and truth. That in our heart and our mind today is really important as we come to these two little letters. Because here is why it matters. Grace saves and truth frees. Let me say it again. Grace saves and truth frees. Let's have a look at grace. Let's dive a little bit deeper into grace. The root word, the Greek word of grace is charis. And charis means this: the undeserved kindness, favor, and goodwill of God. God's grace saves. It is God's favor to us. When we say, Jesus, forgive me for my sin, I want to follow you. It is a free gift, we know that, and it's relationship with God. It's real, it's dynamic, and it's the Spirit of God being breathed into us. The moment we think that we have deserved or earned God's favor, it ceases to be grace. Grace is God's free gift to us. Grace saves. But truth also frees. And Jesus claimed to be truth. Now, truth is very, very problematic in our divided world. But when you look at Jesus to be the only truth, it can be really freeing, because we can live our lives on the rock of Jesus being truth. And we know what Jesus said about himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the truth. And the Apostle John said that Jesus was full of grace and truth, and it just overflowed from his life. And that is what we ultimately become with the Spirit of God in us. We ought to be overflowing with grace and truth. And what does it look like? Well, literally after the service today, I did a little bit of house admin, and then I took my dog for a walk, and the boys ride their bike. I've been striking up a friendship, just a couple of conversations with this guy that also walks his little dog, Buddy. And we were chatting today, and it's probably been five or six conversations down the park, and it got to the moment where he asked me, what do I do for a job? So I said, I'm a pastor. Typical response, you're a what? It's almost like he didn't hear right. You're a what? I'm a pastor of a church. Oh, yeah, what church? Caringbah Baptist Church. He goes, you're a what? He just really couldn't understand that I was a pastor. I said, look, I just followed Jesus, and Jesus has really saved my life. He goes, what do you mean? So I very, very quickly kind of just shared a moment in my life when I was 19, as I was reaching out to Jesus. I was in a really tough place in life, and emotionally and mental health, I wasn't going so well. And I cried out to Jesus. In fact, there was a guy on a building site that kept on telling me that I needed Jesus, and I kept telling him that he was wrong. And I cried out to Jesus after footy training, and I said, I just experienced this rush. It felt like electricity. I felt like it was the presence of God. And I said, Jesus, I want to follow you. And I felt a love. And he goes, well, that's interesting. He said, So what does that mean? I said, well, it just means that I look to Jesus as the one who is the truth. And it was at that point that I could just tell it was a total disconnect. He sort of wanted to really back out of that conversation. But for me, in that moment today, I just wanted to express that Jesus is grace, that we reach out to him and he is there, but he's also truth, and we follow him. He gives us the direction in life that we're looking for. The world doesn't want to hear that. But that's the truth. Grace saves and truth frees. So as we come to these two letters, we start to see how this truth about Jesus plays out in the last of John's writing. So let me just give you a little bit of background about 2 and 3 John. John's name is never ever mentioned in both of his letters. In fact, it just starts off with the elder. And in 3 John, again, the elder. Now, John at this point, scholars seem to think that's about 90 AD. So John is probably in his mid-90s. So he is very elderly. In fact, he has outlived all the other disciples. He's like, seriously, the last one standing. And so if there's ever a time where he is entitled to such a title as the elder, it would be now. John is incredibly senior and advanced in his years. And 3 John is probably one of the last letters that he wrote. Scholars think that 3 John actually came after the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation was also written by the Apostle John. And they seem to think that 3 John is the very last letter that he wrote. So who did John write it to? So in 2 John, we see that he writes the elder to the chosen lady and her children. The chosen lady. Who is that? It's a little unclear, but it's possible that it's a euphemism for a literal lady that was leading a house church. It's like a code word, because remember, first century, Christians were in persecution. So it's likely that 2 John was written to an underground house church. 3 John, however, was written to one of his dear friends, Gaius. Gaius is a very common Roman name. It means glad. But it seems that his friend Gaius was a faithful church leader, possibly in Asia Minor. So 3 John is written to encourage a church leader. So a house church and a church leader. So let's have a look at our first letter to John tonight. Let me just read the first 4 verses for you. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because the truth which lives in us will be in us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. So here we see John, who is really writing to this small church, this underground church. And what is he doing? He's going back right to the beginning of his reflections of Jesus. That truth frees, grace saves. And John is concerned that this church, well, that they would walk in the truth, that they would experience God's truth, which will live in them forever. Live in them forever. And so how do you walk in the truth? Well, John gives 2 reasons, 2 realities that's really important for us in walking in the truth. The first is this. It probably comes no great surprise, given that we've just done 1 John. And it's this, to love one another, verse 5. And now, dear lady, I am not writing to you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. So if you want to walk in the truth of Jesus, it's to love one another. It's to extend your life into the life of another. It's to forsake your needs so that another person's need can be met as a higher priority than your own. It's to give of yourself so that others can know that grace saves and truth frees. And the second reality of walking in the truth for John is obedience in verse 6. And this is love, that you walk in obedience to his commands, to the commands of Jesus. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love, God's grace. You walk in God's grace, and we do that through obedience. So we take seriously the words of Jesus. We go back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, and we apply the teachings of Jesus. Walk in obedience to Jesus. Love one another. That's what it means for John to be walking in the truth. And he finishes his letter with a really important warning. He says, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming from the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. So John finishes with this warning, and that is, don't listen to anyone else than Jesus Christ. In other words, for us, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the real Jesus. Obey his teaching, love one another, and you'll walk in the truth. Those were John's last words, which has really become lasting words. And I know we've heard this message over and over and over again. Love one another, obey Jesus. But I was really serious. If you want to be an influencer for Jesus, it's not just found in some temporal Instagram moment, but it's actually found in applying this little letter, that if we walk in that truth and we love one another, that'll stand out. Obey Jesus Christ, that'll stand out, and you will be an influencer for Jesus Christ, and your influence, well, that impact will go on for all eternity. We come to 3 John, this second little letter, and possibly the last letter that John wrote to his dear friend Gaius. Let's have a look at the first few verses. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the, say it with me, truth. Dear friends, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So John, you can see his last words, he's in his 90s. He was there with Jesus when that first miracle happened for them in the nets miraculously filled with fish. He stood there as he saw Jesus crucified on a cross. He was the only one that didn't abandon Jesus. He ran into that empty tomb and he saw there was no grave clothes, and then he saw Jesus. And now in his 90s with his body failing, and he's writing to his dear friend Gaius with the same message. Walk in the truth. Because Jesus was full of grace and truth. He applauds him, he encourages him because of the way he showed hospitality. The way that he cared for those that were around him. Gaius was a great influencer for Jesus. And we see this in verses 6 to 8. We see that he was so encouraged, John was encouraged, because Gaius would send those on their way in a manner worthy of God. He showed them great hospitality. In verse 8, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such men and women so that we may work together for the truth. That he would bless those that were in his sphere of influence so that we would work together for the truth. And then John, it's his last word that's become lasting words. He says this, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does not, who does what is evil, has not seen God. That's his last word. Imitate God. Imitate what is good. In these two short little letters, in 2 and 3 John, 11 times he says the word truth. 6 times he mentions the word love and grace. So consistent with his experience, his personal experience of Jesus Christ. Remember, grace saves, truth frees. So for John, love one another. For John, obedience to the commands of Jesus. For John, it's about walking in the truth of Jesus Christ. In other words, standing out in what is a very, very divided world. And we are in a space of isolation, and our world is more divided than ever. And I felt that the Lord put this truth statement on my heart for us this week. And that is this: a divided world needs a united church. I want you to sit in this for a moment. A divided world needs a united church. Because when we are united to love each other and the world, when we are united to be obedient to Jesus, when we are united together to walk in the truth, that influence ripples out. And it's only Jesus who can save. A divided world needs a united church. And it really led the Apostle John to write these very last words: "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." I am really encouraged by our Koa community. In a divided world, we are a united church. And I don't take that for granted. In fact, I'm incredibly encouraged. And if I was to write a little letter encouraging our Koa community, this is my little version of a little letter. I see your love for one another. I see how youth leaders choose to spend their time to invest into a young generation so that they can know the truth that frees Jesus Christ and the grace that saves. I see worship leaders that spend so much time during the week ensuring that worship is curated, and musicians that love to use their talent to play so that we can be caught up together and be unified in worshiping our God. I see how a young adult community has come together because you want to be shoulder to shoulder in Christ, and that you too want to worship God together, worship that doesn't have an end time, but worship that keeps going and going and going. I see a community that desires to see little people like Koa Cubby and Koa Crew have seeds of faith invested into them, and you're willing to stand alongside those little ones. I see the extravagant love of those that open their homes to kids from Borroloola so that they can know the love of God and have an opportunity to learn and reach their full potential. And I love to see your obedience to be generous to Jesus Christ and willing to come to our May Mission Month and to give and to partner with us in the gospel as we regularly give each Sunday. I see your generosity, and it really encourages me. And in that, we become a united church. But I will say, remember this. Remember this. It is only God's grace that saves and His truth that frees. So fix your eyes on Jesus and no one else, because it's only Jesus, and through Him, our greatest influence will last. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank You so much for these two little letters. I am so grateful, Lord Jesus, that the Apostle John would strongly instruct us to walk in the truth. And Lord, I pray that You would stir within us a desire to love each other, a willingness to be obedient, a longing to walk in the truth. And in doing so, Lord, would we unite as a church in a divided world? Help us this week just to fix our eyes on You, Jesus, and to not look away. And as we fix our eyes on You, I just pray, Jesus, that Your truth will free us every day, and that our ankles will be firm, and that we will not be ashamed of You, no matter who we are speaking to. Lord, we want to worship You now And we want to continue to richly encourage each other so that we can be united as Jesus influences in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.